Last but not least, listeners, thank you for joining me this afternoon in what has been a rollicking good time on this day after Labor Day. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. I'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Bob Kincaid coming up after the news. Talk to you soon.
This is the Quality News Network. In another of a series of speeches to military organizations, President Bush said today the war on terror is not over yet. He said terrorists have adjusted their tactics in accordance with changing U.S. policy and urged Americans to remain vigilant. In Washington today, the White House released its first strategy for fighting terrorism since 2003. It includes goals such as preventing rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction, preventing them from supporting terrorist networks, and strengthening ties with other countries. Chevron announced today that it has extracted oil from a test well in the Gulf of Mexico. This is the Quality News Network. In another of a series of speeches to military organizations, President Bush said today the war on terror is not over yet. He said terrorists have adjusted their tactics in accordance with changing U.S. policy and urged Americans to remain vigilant. In Washington today, the White House released its first strategy for fighting terrorism since 2003. It includes goals such as preventing rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction, preventing them from supporting terrorist networks, and strengthening ties with other countries. Chevron announced today that it has extracted oil from a test well in the Gulf of Mexico. The find could boost U.S. oil reserves by as much as 50%. However, full production probably won't start up for 5 to 7 years. In Egypt today, U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan says he remains optimistic that Israel will lift its air and sea blockade of Lebanon in the next 48 hours. He is also asking France, Italy, and Greece to provide naval ships to patrol the Lebanese coast until the German Navy arrives. In Iraq today, 2 U.S. Marines and a sailor were killed in combat in the Anbar province. Iraqi police also found 7 more bullet-riddled Iraqi bodies. Also today, Iraq's parliament voted to extend its state of emergency for another month. In the Middle East, Israel and the Palestinian government have agreed to a prisoner exchange program. Hamas has agreed to release the Israeli soldier who was abducted from Gaza in June in exchange for some of the Palestinians held in Israel. In Washington today, Congress returned to work after its summer recess with a focus on national security. Members will also work on a bill related to the warrantless wiretap program and hope to confirm John Bolton as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The latest CNN poll finds that 55% of Americans prefer challengers to congressional incumbents running for re-election in November. The poll also found that only 12% of those surveyed are satisfied with the job Congress has been doing. In Washington, the former Federal Highway Administration chief has been appointed to succeed Norm Mineta as Transportation Secretary. Mary Peter served on the Arizona Highway Department for more than 15 years. In Montana, officials say a wildfire that's been burning for 3 weeks now is only 25% contained. You're listening to QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from divorce, collaborative style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Chipmaker Intel has announced it will cut 10,500 jobs, or about 10% of its workforce, in a restructuring effort. The company expects to save $3 billion a year by 2008. Ford Motor CEO Bill Ford Jr. has resigned and is being replaced by a Boeing executive. Ford will stay on as chairman of the board. The federal government says U.S. home prices rose just over 1% in the second quarter. That's a decline of more than a full percentage point, the lowest gain in 7 years. White House nominee Frederick Mishkin was sworn in today to the Federal Reserve Board. The former Columbia University professor served as a VP at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Viacom has announced CEO Tom Freston is resigning, though no reason was given. He'll be replaced by a member of the board of directors. Brazil and Britain are teaming up to produce ethanol from South African sugarcane. Ethanol makes up about 40% of all non-diesel fuel consumption in Brazil. French company since 1966, the annual telethon has raised more than $1 billion to fight muscular dystrophy. Light sweet crude settled today at $68.69. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 5 points at 11,469, NASDAQ up 13 at 2205, S&P up 2 at 1313. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Tuesday edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We took Labor Day off because we honor the people who carry this nation on their backs, i.e. the working people of America. I'm Bob. Sitting next to me, producing the program, answering your calls, is the lovely, talented, vivacious Agnes, my darling wife. If you want to get involved with the program, you just heard the phone number. You might want to write it down if you're new to the program. 877-443-2366. If you need an alphanumeric mnemonic to maybe help you remember it, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Okay? Email flies right in at bob@headonradio.com. And I am just thrilled to death with all the new folks that we're hearing from. I'm so glad to have you on board, and of course our regular listeners as well, because you all know how much it means to me that you would spend something as precious as your finite time with us, examining what is being done to this nation, who is doing what to this nation, and occasionally even why they're doing it. Because those are the questions we have to answer before we know how to fight back, aren't they? I've got enough on the plate tonight to keep me busy for 5 hours, let alone three. But I want to start with something significant. An anniversary, if you will. Because this is, after all, September the 5th, 2006. Now, I'm not going to get all FDR on you and tell you that it's a day that will live in infamy or anything. But something happened. You know, this a year ago, we were just beginning to get the first inklings of the devastation that had been wrought by virtue of the negligence of filthy, filthy Republicans and their racist policies and what they had done in the foul and fetid stinking waters of Katrina as they pooled and puddled and raced around the Ninth Ward in New Orleans and all up and down the Gulf Coast. And on September the 5th, 2005, on September the 5th, 2005, that hateful, that awful, that vicious old beast, Barbara Bush, chimed in.
Almost everyone I've talked to says we're going to move to Houston.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. Everybody is so overwhelmed by the hospitality. And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, we're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
This is working very well for them. Oh, dear, I think I have forgotten my fudge. I think I dropped a pearl.
Now, there was ample outrage a year ago when that happened. But you know what? Don't forget that kind of thing. Because that is emblematic, that is axiomatic of the level of negligence and, well, no, not even negligence, the utter of abject distaste and utter disdain that the Bush family, this weird little cabal of people who have never earned an honest living in their lives, not since some Bush progenitor got on the War Materiels Board in World War I and got on that public teat. Not since that day have they earned an honest dollar. They weren't earning honest money when Prescott Bush was working for Brown Brothers Harriman and got caught red-handed funding Fritz Thyssen, I'm not sure the pronunciation, the guy that was referred to as Hitler's angel, got caught red-handed. You can see the record for yourself in the Federal Register. It was reported in newspapers around the country. He was busted under the Trading with the Enemies Act. And from that day, from World War I forward, that vicious, that evil family, that gang of grave robbers, for God's sakes, because, of course, a young Prescott Bush was part and parcel of a little grave robbing out at Fort Sill in Oklahoma, where they stole a Native American skull and brought it back to Yale to the Skull and Bones House and told their brothers how they had gotten the skull of Geronimo. And the skull of Geronimo to this day is said to be the skull of Skull and Bones. So today is a sick little anniversary of sorts. Let's not forget what that hateful old beast said. Agnes, let's hear it again, please. Can you imagine Barbara Bush? It explains a lot about George when you think about the fact that this thing potty trained George W. Bush.
Almost everyone I've talked to says we're going to move to Houston.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. Everybody is so overwhelmed by the hospitality. And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, we're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, how do you look at a gang? I mean, not a gang, but, you know, a horde, okay? I'll use the word horde. How do you look at a horde of refugees who have just lost everything in their world, are sleeping on cots, are sleeping on the floor, are eating military meals ready to eat out of little tin cans with little plastic spoons, who are diving to their death in the Superdome. And then, you know, they make it to, well, the Astrodome too, wasn't it? Yeah, it was in the Astrodome too. They make it to the Astrodome, and Barbara Bush wanders around and says, you know, this is working out well for them because, you know, they were underprivileged in the first place, you know, so, you know, I imagine they lack the mental perspicacity to understand what it is to be underprivileged, so they just know they're underprivileged in the Astrodome now, and it's air-conditioned, yes! I despise that woman. Oh, Bob, you're being mean to a former first lady. I'm being honest about a beast. Yeah, it's a lovely photograph of her on the Quaker Oats box. You're right, Agnes. But, you know, this is the same lady that gave us the Beautiful Mind speech. Yeah, I'm not going to watch the body bags come home. Who cares how many and why and they died and how many body bags? Why would I waste my beautiful mind on that? And again, I put it to you. Do you really have questions about why George W. Bush is the way he is when you contemplate for one single, solitary, mathematically almost incomprehensible instant that this is the thing that potty trained him?
The maid did
it. No. Can you imagine? George, God won't like you unless you use the potty. Ugh. What a gang of thugs. It's astonishing. So that's where we begin tonight. It is not where we stay all night, but it is, by Jove, where we begin. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and go to some of your phone calls. The telephone number, again, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email again, bob@headonradio.com. And, you know, I would invite you as well to join us in the chat room, headonradionetwork.com. Click on chat room and you're right there. It's hopping tonight, I can promise you that. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
You said New York. New York is dangerous. Cause you read that where you may.
Even the blind man could see that's not so.
La, 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 la.
People on the street.
Why don't we give all that one more chance?
Minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On for Tuesday evening. And we go straight to the phones where we're joined by our good friend Mitch calling from California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Bobby. Here I am, the harbinger of gloom again. You know what I mean? It's here we go again. You know what I mean? You know, I like, you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together again, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about this. And so the Hobson's choice we're left with now. And we go into the election on November. What the point I'm going to make is when you go to Washington, here's something to think about. If we go into the election and we still have the Republicans polling in at a 30% approval rating, and they win the election, and you know and everybody knows that it's in the, you know, that it was that, you know, that the fix was in, and the people rise up, and then martial law is declared. And then there's a reason to declare martial law if the people rise up and start questioning another fixed election. Why should we doubt that there is another fixed election? I mean, how many times do you swallow it before you realize what you ate? You know what I mean? We've already had two fixed elections in a row, and we know that nothing's been done. And
well, I mean, you might be being a little bit generous, Mitch. We've had there have been three federal election cycles since 2000.
You're right. I'm sorry. Three. Of course, I forgot the midterms last time around. But you know, it's you know, I mean, why would you know? I mean, you know, I mean, are we that dumb? Nobody's talking about it anymore. It came up for a while, and you know, and of course, there's people like, you know, people on the internet. Like, who's the fellow that has the site? He's all about getting the voting straightened out.
Brad Blog.
Brad Blog, of course.
Yeah.
Brad. With a few exceptions like himself, you know, everybody's just marching along, and they're going to do the same damn thing they do all again. They're going to still vote Democratic. We're still going to win. We're still going to lose. And then if we don't rise up, we'll be in trouble. And if we do rise up, we'll be in trouble. I think the only thing we get, what would be nice, Bob, is when you're in Washington, talk to these people about organizing the weekend following the election.
I will make mention of that, Mitch. I promise you. I give you my solemn word that I will bring that up.
Yeah, the weekend following the election, man. There should be like 15 million people converge on Washington. Every single person that voted Democratic as ambulatory gets his ass to Washington D.C. I mean, what are they going to do if 15 million people depend on one city? I mean, that's bigger than the country we're in right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we could do it. I mean, we could do it if there was enough people in this country who were fed up enough. And I think, like I say, if they go into another election this time with the same approval rating and win, even the dumbest of the dumb, You know, I mean, as long as their hearts are good, but even the dumbest of dumb will have to see. I mean, the ones that can't see, and we don't care about them anyway, because they're dummies, who wants them, right? But the ones that have good hearts, the ones that have just been really, really duped, the ones that are really under the spell, even they will have to see. And then that's the, hopefully that's the turning. I mean, it's only
the that's the draft. Tipping point,
yeah,
sure.
It's only the average draft. Steve Bush has been so smart with that. He has been so smart. He's killed our soldiers, sending them back 3 and 4 times and into the line of fire. And every time he, you know, I mean, he has no guilt at all about doing that. I mean, these men are like shell shocked. I mean, completely shell shocked, post traumatic stress disorder, my ass. These guys are shell shocked. These guys are messed up. I mean, I see them at the VA. They're walking around like already doing the Thorazine March, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a doctor explained, when you breathe in depleted uranium, you know what that is? It's like breathing in a liquid metal.
It
goes into your lungs and it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the radiation. It's the heavy metal aspect of it that's toxic, if I understand some of my...
He says it's like breathing metal. He says, you know, stuff gets into your system and becomes like metal again in certain parts of your system, you know, like your lungs and places like that. It clogs up. You know, also you're walking around with all this, like, you know, metal inside your body.
And, you know, I mean, if we know for a fact, and we do know these things for a fact, Mitch, especially around here in West Virginia, that breathing things like silica dust and coal dust, well, you know, coal dust basically just turns your lungs to fluff, to ash.
My grandfather was a coal miner in Alabama, so I know.
Okay, yeah, so then silica dust basically turns it to concrete. So why would we expect that breathing misted, you know, I mean, what do you call it? Micro-particularized depleted uranium would, you know, we can't assume it would be good for you.
No, I mean, he says it turns the metal inside of you. I mean, it just, you know, they get together and it's, you know, you're all of a sudden, I mean, you can't walk through a metal detector after that. You'll sort of metal detectors have so much crap inside your body. But you used to see these guys. I mean, the Thorazine walk, the Thorazine shuffle, they used to call it. You used to see back in the 60s where they would grab someone who, ate a couple of tabs of sunshine, decided to do a tap dance on a police car, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they would put, they would handcuff them and give them Thorazine, you know? And that, now I'm seeing these guys walking around, like, at the VA, I mean, just like, you know, like 19 years old, and they got that, you know, what they used to call it, you know, the 10,000-mile stare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're looking to something you'll never see, man. And, you know, I mean, you remember that look, but it just chills your soul to see it in someone again, you know.
Well, a friend of ours, a gentleman who writes, among other places, at I believe Op-Ed News, and they publish it. Information Clearinghouse is what I'm thinking about. Guy named Charlie Sullivan. Wrote a piece about support the troops, and it was published, and he got a note back from a soldier, and what you say just reminded me of what he sent me. This is the note that, and Charlie forwarded it on to me. I'm not going to give anybody's names apart from Charlie's, because I don't want to endanger anybody. But like I said, Charlie forwarded the letter to me, and I figure he won't mind if I share it. With regard to, and the, if you go to Information Clearinghouse and look for Charlie Sullivan and look for Why I Am a Terrorist, it's a damn good essay. And the letter he got back on it says the following, Mitch. It says, I'd like to say I thank you for your stand. I'm a private in the U.S. Army, and not long ago I was forced to endure 12 long months in Iraq, and shortly I may have to return. I originally joined the Army because I didn't have a job, an education, or any income to support me and my family. I now regret it as one of the worst decisions I've made in my whole life. After seeing the poverty, desperation, pointless violence, and humiliation in Iraq, I wish I'd never have joined the Army and lent my support to this stupid and pathetic war. I agree that supporting our troops means bringing them home now.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, that's a guy who's still, you know, under the colors, so to speak.
Hey, well, you know what? I mean, I know about a Vietnam vets, man. And, you know, there's so much hype going on. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know one real Vietnam vet, real soldier, whoever, or Marine, whoever came back from Vietnam and had anybody ever spit on him or call him a baby killer at the airport.
A lot of that's made up. I mean, it became urban myth.
That didn't happen. You know, the people that support, you know, people that supported them supported them. When they came home, we brought them into the fold as quickly as we could. We let them grow their hair out long. It'd be hard to get them out of uniform for a while, but once you got them out of uniform, they became freaks real quick, didn't they? they became the freakiest of the freaks, you know? Because they really let go. You know, after 4 years in the Marine Corps, they let their hair grow out. They became the wildest guys in the neighborhood.
Yeah? Well, you know, maybe, is that surprising?
No, that's exactly what they should have done. You know, the poor guys came back, and, you know, I mean, they came back to Brooklyn, and, one guy, Bobby, was 4th of July, somebody let off an ash can. And Bob split under a car. You know, I mean, the sound of an explosion. The first thing he did was hit the ground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was, like, dressed really nice. And, you know, he got up and he was, like, really fucking embarrassed because, you know, it wasn't something, excuse my language.
That's okay. We'll let that one slide.
I mean, that one slide. But he was really embarrassed because, people don't do that on the street usually, you know. Well, in Brooklyn, you do duck when the gunfire, so it's fine. But usually don't dive on the cars, you know.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand when he first went home, he walked in the house. He was talking to his mother. And while they were talking, he was just standing there. He opened the bird. His mother had a little canary in a bird cage. He opened the cage. So while he was talking to his mother, then, you know, without even blinking an eye, breaking the conversation or rhythm, he then took the bird, it was chirping, I guess, gave it a good squeeze and dropped it on the bottom of the cage. Closed the cage door and kept talking to his mother. She was like horrified. You know, I mean, he didn't even like, it was like brushing a mosquito off your arm.
The things that happen, and I can't profess to know about it because I didn't experience it. I'm frankly glad I didn't. But the things that happen to people in wartime, they don't just happen in Vietnam or Korea or Iraq or anything. They happened in World War II. People woke up in night sweats and screaming and things like that from their experience in so-called good wars. The point, though, Mitch, is that, you know, what happens to an otherwise normal human being in the course of a war is so profound and so horrifying and has such long-lasting, life-changing consequences that we should engage in that behavior, and moreover, that we should only engage such people in such events at our absolute last possible alternative.
And as we say, we always think the most impressionable of the most sweet, the most impressionable, and they're the ones we send off to war.
You know, there's a lieutenant colonel from the JAG Corps in the Army who has now recommended the death penalty for 4 American soldiers in regard to atrocities that they committed in Iraq.
Scapegoats again. I mean, they did what they did, but...
There's no colonel... There's no colonel on the list of the death penalty, and these guys say that, you know, the orders came from higher up. You know, and these guys, and I'm guessing these guys don't do things on, you know, that, you know, don't just do things. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we took 4 kids who might have otherwise been decent human beings and put them into indecent circumstances.
Standards now. I mean, they're allowing felons in the service now, you know?
Sure, skinheads, gang members, what have you.
Yeah, I mean, go for it, whatever. Just don't have a draft. Whatever you do, don't get the youth involved. That's the master plan, because you get the youth involved, it's all over. And if there was some way to galvanize the youth in this country, some way to light a fire under them. I mean, bands are going out, but the bands like Crosby, Stills, and Nash are singing to the choir. You know, we go out, I love to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, still, I mean, they're not attracting the 18 and 19 year olds anymore. They are.
Yeah. Well, you know,
there's a few connoisseurs, you know. But
apparently, Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend and whoever makes up the bulk of what used to be the Who are going to be performing "Won't Get Fooled by Bush" again, and it's a completely different. I mean, it's a complete reworking of the lyric,
uh-huh.
And it's a stunning lyric. I ran across it somewhere earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these guys are needed, Mitch.
Yeah, you know, another thing, you know what I thought, too? Was it you I talked to? I saw Rob Reiner at an event.
Yeah.
And I said, wouldn't it be great, though, if Rob Reiner, like, maybe see what Rob Reiner did in the 60s, when he took that part with Norman Lear, is he put his face on the anti-war movement. So from that point on, the anti-war movement wasn't just crazy guys like Jerry Rubin, you know, like running around like gladiators in the street, you know, looking like they were carrying bullets, you know, straps of bullets across their chest.
Right.
I mean, the image of the anti-war person up to that point was like that. And all of a sudden, Rob Reiner came on within his relationship with Archie and Sally Struthers, and he put a face on the anti-war movement. We don't have that now. We have a vast middle class who really thinks that the anti-war movement is the extreme left. I mean, they really believe that there is an extreme left out there, and there is an extreme left, I guess. I mean, I'm as extreme to the left as you can get. But, you know, right now, I think you have to be as far to the extreme to the left as you can pull. Like, if you were playing tug-of-war, you'd want to be as far to the left as you can just to pull to get it that much more center, because if you try to pull from the center, you're not going to get nowhere.
No, you're not.
We have to pull from the far end and maybe even, you know, jump off the end of the earth with it. But I don't know what we're going to do, but, you know, I mean...
Well, you know, no, we're up against it. I mean, from the, and you've covered a lot of ground, a whole lot of ground, Mitch,
yeah.
From elections to how we treat our veterans returning home, to just how we affect the necessary change in the United States, in our country. Honest to God, Mitch, I will put your patriotism and my patriotism up against Flush Flimball, Sean Hannity, or any of those vicious, murderous pigs any day of the week.
And what they won't talk. They won't talk those guys.
Because we're actually sitting here dialoguing about this stuff. We're working on this stuff, Mitch.
They don't dialogue about anything. They monologue.
Well, they take their marching orders from Chinless Ken Melman, and they run with it.
And they just monologue. They just monologue it. I'm looking at the calendar right now. November. Oh, this is wonderful, because the election is November 2nd?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, November 3rd is Friday. Saturday is the 4th. You know, like when you're in Washington, talk about maybe, you know, starting.
Well, the election, yeah, Saturday's the 4th, 5th, Sunday, 6th. The election is the 7th.
What day is it?
The 7th. November the 7th is the election.
Oh, why did I say that? Okay, well, that's good. The 8th, 9th. Yeah, you have the weekend following. Something should happen right after the election. If the following morning, suddenly, you know, the Republicans sweep back into power right there at the places show that that's bullshit. The people have to do something immediately. It can't be something we have. You know, if we think about it too long, it won't happen. It has to be something almost like word of mouth. It's got to spread like wildfire, and it's got to be kept quiet too, because. You know, as quiet as possible. There's got to be some strategy we have to employ right after losing in another election. We can't let it slide.
No, we absolutely can't. Mitch, I got a roll, brother, but I tell you what, I always appreciate everything you bring to the program, man.
All right, my brother. I love you. Give my love to Aggie.
Sure will. You take care now.
Good to meet you. Bye.
Bye now. Okay, and do you want to keep rolling? Okay. We will go anonymous for this caller by request. Welcome aboard. You're head on.
Thanks. Just something I need to say.
Okay.
And the last caller, I respect his views and everything, but I really kind of need to say something. I was drafted into the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Didn't want any part of it. And, of course, I did things I certainly did not want to do, which makes me who I am today. But I will say one thing. No higher-ups can tell you to do anything that you know is wrong. I faced a rifle at the head of one of my lieutenants who ordered a command that was illegal.
Okay.
That order was not followed. You do not have to follow any of those orders. And anybody who's saying that I was ordered from higher up to be inhuman, it's a cop-out. No one has to do that.
Well, there is specific training. This is the thing I have complained about. I cannot speak, like I said, from any level of experience, but I get the sneaking suspicion that with today's training of the military, you get your lecture about you don't have to follow an illegal order somewhere right after the 12-mile hike.
True.
And right before chow. And so it's the last thing on your mind.
They don't really beat it, but trust me, in the 60s, it was even less. They had you to swear in, and to be honest with you, I swore in. I stuck up my hand, and during the entire swearing in process, I said, hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. But when I got there, it was stay alive.
Sure, sure.
And I did think. And it was all legal. And the time that I was ordered to do something that was illegal, morally I knew better. Through that little bit of crummy training they gave me, I knew better. And the lieutenant did not get his orders followed. I just wanted to say that.
I appreciate
that. I trust the troops. I love the troops. I know that they're doing a real good job, but no illegal order needs to be followed.
Well, you know, one of the problems we're up against is the defense that's being mounted in at least one of these cases is that these soldiers, these boots on the ground, had orders from higher up, and this is the quote, to kill all military-aged males.
Right. And I had orders to take out an entire family. And it did not happen. I don't care what the orders is. Common courtesy, common sense, common
humanity
says that doesn't happen. I'm sorry. I just had to put that.
That's okay. I appreciate you sharing.
I certainly agree with everything that y'all do, but that had to be said. And sometimes you have to make a bad decision to keep a worse decision from being.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be faced with one of those. Honest to God, I cannot.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Good night.
Bye now. And, yeah, thank you. And yet every, you know, what, every day? Every day? Are we willing to bet that every day some 18, 19-year-old kid is having that decision foisted upon him? Jesus, 9 months before you were wondering if you were going to pass trig? Or auto body shop? 9 months later, you're wondering if you've actually got to do what the dude says and kill every military-aged male? Can you walk a mile in those moccasins? I can't. I made deliberate decisions to try to avoid making those choices. But at some point in time, free human will does come into it. And now there are four American soldiers facing a recommendation of the death penalty. My God. And those, you know, those are our fellow Americans. Since the day this war started, we have said, support the troops by bringing them home. What if we had been listened to a year ago? A year and a half ago? There would be four young men not facing the death penalty. Four young men maybe looking for a job. Four young men maybe going through their sophomore year in college or going to a kegger after a football game, but not sitting in a military brig. Let's see, that's Navy. Whatever it is. Not sitting in military confinement somewhere, knowing that some lieutenant colonel who had never heard a damn shot fired in anger had just recommended that they be killed for their actions under the flag. And I'm not commenting on whether or not they were right or wrong or guilty or not guilty. I'm talking about proximate causation. The proximate cause of those young men, if they did commit, in fact, what they are charged with committing, the horrors that they are charged with committing, they committed those horrors as a direct and proximate result of the fact that a little pig-eyed, jug-eared lout of a man who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue got on the television and said, I have lost my patience with Saddam. It flows, you know, this isn't some bogus syllogism. It flows from A to B to C. If P, then Q. And it is as real as a sunrise. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. I want to go into this break with something that our chief engineer, webmaster, and all-around great guy, John Fox, has produced. This is a little something that he was inspired to do after listening to excerpts the other night of Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson's comments this past week. I think you'll like it. It'll go up on the website. This is the Head-On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It is with tremendous pride that I introduce to you the Honorable Mayor Rocky Anderson.
Is a person who loves his or her country. Who among you loves your country so much that you have come here today to raise your voice out of deep concern for our nation and our world? And we are here today to insist that those who were elected to be our leaders must tell us the truth. We are here today to insist that our news media live up to its sacred responsibility to ascertain and report the truth. And that he had no other basis for his claim. Had our nation's media done its job, rather than slavishly repeating to us the lies being fed to it by the Bush administration, our nation very well may not have allowed the commencement of this outrageous, tragic, illegal, unjustified war. Sexual orientation.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Before the hour here at the Head On Radio Network. Now, I played John Fox's brilliant piece combining a really cool song by the Black Crowes with Rocky Anderson's words for a very particular reason, because I want to share something else with you. And let's call this... Let's call this Failures in Journalism. This is a USA Today columnist by the name of Richard Benedetto. And the headline, and I don't know that Richard put this on there, you know, some headline writer for USA Today, you know, via big truck probably put it on there. But this is the headline, and it relates to Rocky Anderson's speech last week. Simple courtesy by public officials should always be in good taste. Washington, USATODAY.com. And this goober writes, "You know that civility in public discourse has fallen on rough times when the mayor of the capital city of the nation's most Republican state fails to welcome the visiting president of the United States and instead calls him all kinds of names in public. That happened Wednesday in Salt Lake City, just before President Bush arrived in town to speak to the American Legion convention and do some fundraising for Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah. Salt Lake Mayor Rocky Anderson, a firebrand liberal Democrat with a... A firebrand liberal Democrat? Funny, George Bush wasn't mentioned in this little slander, this ugly little libel, as being... Let's see, firebrand liberal Democrat, as being a fiery conservative Republican President Bush, but Rocky Anderson is a firebrand liberal Democrat with a reputation for bombastic language and a touch of histrionics, headlined an anti-war rally in front of City Hall only hours before the president flew in. Jesus, this is like Hedda Hopper or something. In the process, he called Bush, quote, a dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president. Do you believe it? That he called him that? A dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president. What is our nation coming to when a guy who starts wars with countries that never even did anything to him and kills 100,000 plus non-combatant individuals, half of whom are women and children, and some of those women are pregnant. What is our world coming to when the liberal firebrand mayors can call a president who does that, the dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president? America, America, what has become of you, America? Oh, God. Needless to say, Anderson, who is not seeking re-election, opposes the war in Iraq and believes Bush and his leadership have led our country to ruin. While no one denied that Anderson had a right to speak out, many in Utah, a state whose Mormon tradition almost dictates quiet courtesy and civility, thought his behavior as mayor of the state's capital city was way out of line. Oh, wait, what? Mormon tradition almost dictates quiet courtesy and civility? Is he talking about the same Mormons that I read about in the history books that turned on the Indians who helped them and slaughtered them down to the last man and killed non-Mormon settlers who came into Utah with reckless abandon and firm conviction that some angel named Moron or something told them to do it? Oh, Moroni, I'm sorry. Moron, Moroni, yeah, tomato, tomato. A state whose Mormon tradition almost dictates quiet courtesy. Bush was coming into the state to speak to the American Legion, and many Utahns thought it was disrespectful to veterans to treat the president that way. No! Disrespect to veterans has to do with sending them to illegal wars to die in the filthy, stinking sands of Iraq with the names of their mama on their bleeding lips. To send National Guardsmen who had never even heard the phrase improvised explosive device or IED or roadside bomb into a place that was chock-a-block full with the daggum things. And no idea how to deal with them except by driving around and seeing which ones blew up under their unarmored vehicles. Little wonder, then, that the Anderson protest not only drew so much attention, but almost also so much criticism. Local Republican officials quoted on NPR said Anderson, regardless of whether he agreed or disagreed with the president's policy, had an official obligation to act as a gracious host. He did. He had an obligation to act as a gracious host. Mr. President, may I offer you some petty fours? Would you care for a glass of orange sherbet ginger ale punch? I've got a cell phone right here if you want to order some more civilians killed. This is 2006. This is September 5th in Bushmerica, and Richard Benedetto says that we're not being courteous enough in talking about George Bush's war crimes. You know, what do you want out of right-wing media? USA Today stood up on its hind legs once and told the world about the Bush spying scandal, spying on every single American, every single phone call. They told us about that. They got rat-slapped, and they're not going to do it anymore. No! I loathe them. Further proof, and I got more proof. Later in the program, we'll talk about it. I got further proof. More proof. That we have to build our own media. We have to get the message out ourselves. Because Richard Benedetto at the USA Today is not going to get it done for us. And neither, as it turns out, is Katie Couric. So that's what we'll, that's the kind of thing we're coming back to. We got a break for the news. When we come back, your phone calls, as ever, are welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, Head On. Email bob@headonradio.com. Alrighty then. I'm Bob.
One for all. It's all for one.
Let's go.
This is the Quality News Network. In a speech to the Military Officers Association of America today, President Bush warned that terrorists have changed their strategies based on changing U.S. policy and that the U.S. is not safe yet. It was one of several speeches leading up to the five-year anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Tomorrow, Mr. Bush will talk about plans to try detainees at Guantanamo Bay before military commissions. A study released today says nearly 70% of those working among the rubble of the World Trade Center are having lung problems. Doctors say those problems could plague those workers for the rest of their lives. In Washington today, the White House released its first strategy for fighting terrorism since 2003. It includes short-term goals such as preventing rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction and long-term goals such as promoting democracy. Chevron says it's discovered oil in the Gulf of Mexico, possibly the biggest find since Alaska's Prado Bay in the 1990s. The new discovery could boost U.S. oil reserves by 50%. However, full production probably won't begin for 5 to 7 years. In Mexico, the Electoral Court has recommended that Felipe Calderon be declared the winner of July's hotly contested presidential election. In Europe, five major countries say they will not allow Israel's national airline, El Al, to land at their airports if the planes are carrying military equipment. Germany, Britain, Spain, Italy, and Portugal have imposed those new restrictions. In Egypt today, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he remains optimistic that Israel will lift its blockade of Lebanon in the next 48 hours. He's also asking France, Italy, and Greece to provide naval ships to patrol the Lebanese coast until the German Navy arrives. Also today, Israeli forces left five areas in southern Lebanon. In Vienna tomorrow, a senior Iranian negotiator and the European Union foreign policy chief will meet to discuss Iran's nuclear program. It's the last-ditch effort to avoid UN sanctions against Tehran, which is refusing to stop enriching uranium. In New Orleans, two nursing home operators have sued state and federal officials. The employees were arrested after 34 of their patients died in the aftermath of Katrina. Their attorneys say government agencies should have instituted better evacuation plans. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Frederick Mishkin was sworn in today to the Federal Reserve Board. Mishkin served as a VP at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. One position on the Fed board is still vacant. Bill Ford Jr. has resigned as CEO of Ford Motors and is being replaced by a Boeing executive. However, Ford will stay on as chairman of the board. The Washington Post reports that Viacom CEO Tom Freston has been forced out after only 9 months at the post. He'll be replaced by a member of the board of directors. Chipmaker Intel announced today that it will cut more than 10,000 jobs, or about 10% of its worldwide workforce. That's expected to save $3 billion a year by 2008. Merrill Lynch is buying National City Corp's First Franklin Financial Unit in a $1.3 billion deal. And Sprint Nextel has won a two-year, $680 million contract from the U.S. General Services Administration. The Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon raised a record $61 million over the Labor Day holiday. Since 1966, the annual telethon has raised more than $1 billion to fight muscular dystrophy. Light Sweet Crude settled today at $68.69. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 5 points at 11,469, NASDAQ up 13 at 2205, S&P up 2 at 1313. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Almost 5 minutes past the hour. And, well, we played the Black Crowes Rocky Anderson piece that John Fox put together, and the emails started flying. I've contacted Chief Engineer John Fox of the Head On Radio Network. You know, I love it when I call him, and he says, Bob, I can't get to go. No, I'm sorry, that would be Scotty. John has already, or is in the process of putting the Black Crowes Rocky Anderson piece up on the website, headonradionetwork.com, so you can download it, listen to it, and generally have a blast with it. Share it around. Let people, let people hear Rocky's voice and that excellent song and the excellent production work that was done, because it all works together ever so well. Okay, we're gonna do some more media stuff in a minute, but right now to the phones, Jim is calling. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good evening.
How are you?
Okay. Listen, did I just hear someone say, and I wasn't listening too closely, I just really drifted off, unfortunately. Sorry about that. But
I hate when that happens.
Did I hear someone say that they had been given orders to shoot Iraqi males of military age?
No, that's the defense that's being mounted by some of these soldiers who are accused of an atrocity over there, Jim. They were given orders to go to a village and kill all military-aged males.
The ones who are being charged in the atrocities action, correct?
I'm not entirely square, but that is one of the defenses to. Oh God, it was a little town. It was on an island, and they said that they were given orders by higher up to go and kill every military-aged male, and that's why they did what they did.
Well, now I can remember back in 1941, or reading about in 1941, shortly before the commencement of Operation Barbarossa, that Adolf Hitler summoned his military leaders to the Berghof, his summer retreat on the Obersalzberg,
mm-hmm.
and told them that the war against Russia, which was to commence on 21 June of that year, would not be conducted in a knightly fashion, and that's when Hitler gave this Commissar order. And this is the sort of thing that these guys, I guess, are trying to say that they were told to do. Is that not correct?
Well, I mean, I can't necessarily compare it with the Hitlerian stuff because I don't have the record in front of me. But their defense, they have already mounted it in the military tribunal. Their defense is that they were given direct orders to go and kill every military-aged male.
Okay. Now, are they also able to produce a copy of that order?
They don't claim that it was written.
Uh-huh.
To the best of my knowledge.
I see. How convenient for them.
I suppose. I mean,
I don't believe them.
You know, you think that these were just young men thrown into a meat grinder who cracked under the stress and decided to go and do some murders?
Possibly, or they could have been young men who would have done the same thing, except on a street corner here, in a drive-by or something like that, Bob. You know, it's hard to say.
Well, you know, you're right, Jim. It is hard.
It takes a very wise judge to sort things like this out.
It is hard to say because the recruiting standards of the military have been dropped so low in an order to meet recruiting goals that and this isn't just crazy Bob out there babbling along. It's been reported on a number of occasions. We're accepting skinheads. We are accepting white supremacists. We are accepting the Aryan nation types. We're accepting gangbangers. We are accepting anything with a pulse that walks into a recruiting office now into the United States military.
Well, you can only imagine the pressures at USAREC, or United States Recruiting Command, as headquartered up in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and a local recruiting battalion here in Beckley. I mean, you can imagine the pressures that they are under to make missions.
Oh, yeah. Well, fortunately, the recruiters here in West Virginia don't have a very hard time, Jim, because, you know, we'll unfortunately, we'll sign up under any circumstance. We've got a long tradition of military service, and we've got the equally advantageous, as far as recruiting is concerned, of almost no economic opportunities whatsoever for our youth.
Well, even that being said, I know personally that they are having difficulty in making missions.
No, it's entirely possible. We do know for a fact that...
There are people who are just... let me put it this way. There are people, even in this state, who are not so desperate for three hots and a cot and a promise in the sky of some type of educational opportunity who want to be put into this meat grinder in Southwest Asia. I mean, to them, even that is unacceptable. Whether it's patriotism or whether it's just
I understand it, and of course they've raised the Army recently raised its enlistment
42.
Yeah, it's not up to 45 yet because then I'd be getting nervous. The minute they pass my age, I'm nervous.
Well,
but at any rate, let me ask you a question. Now, you don't think an officer gave an order for these young men to slaughter every military aged male in the village?
Well, I mean, listen, you had Cali at Milan.
Well, that's my next question.
And you had, I don't know, who, did they name the officer?
I'm not that familiar. I'm not going to sit here and tell you yes or no. I'm not that familiar with the court proceedings.
Grade and branch of service? Or
well, I mean, we'll know branch of service from what branch, and they're Army, I do believe. I don't think they're Marines. But I'm even at this point, I'm pulling... sketchy information.
I think these guys would probably...
But this was the preliminary hearing stage, and you're not required to give out every last little bit of information in that, and it's an article something or another hearing, but it's akin to a preliminary hearing on a felony charge in civilian court.
Well, you've got Article 15, Article 32, summary courts-martial, that's
right, this is the same thing as a preliminary hearing in front of a magistrate in which there's a determination of is it more likely than not that a crime was committed, and is it more likely than not that if a crime was committed, the people responsible for the crime are the people who were present charged.
Well, they're going to have to produce some documentation.
Oh yeah, if they, and of course, you know, within the confines of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, if you and I mean this applies to the lawyer, for God's sakes. If a JAG Corps lawyer brings in an officer and accuses him of crime and cannot prove it, that lawyer's toast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's going to go to jail too. As well as lose his right to practice, he'll be disbarred.
Well, he'll be thrown out. He won't be. I don't think he'd be civilian disbarred. They're separate proceedings because.
Well, it's the equivalent of the same thing. I mean, he won't be able to practice.
Yeah, he won't. No, he won't practice in front of any more military kangaroo
he
courts.
He won't practice in front of any civilian judge either. If he is separated of those conditions, I can assure you of that. But I mean that you know that's just. If you excuse me, if I appear somewhat incredulous to hear this type of statement, but on my first impulse, I would say that these guys are desperate to save themselves from either being shot by firing squad or hanged or whatever. And I think that probably that was a little far-fetched. But, you know, who knows? And if they can produce documentation and if they can produce some type of evidence and give the name of the person who crafted and actually gave that order,
it would be very interesting, Jim, because that would make dominoes start falling. Because you know, no little captain is going to take the fall himself. He'll take down a major. He'll take down a lieutenant colonel. He'll take down a bird colonel. He'll take down a general.
Well, that'd be at the company level if the captain did it. And of course, you know, it goes on up the scale.
But you know, why are we surprised at the possibility that something like this could happen, Jim? After all, at the highest levels of government, at the Rumsfeld level, he said, "Well, I work on my feet all day. Why can't we torture a few people by making them stand up for 24 consecutive hours?" You know, Alberto Gonzalez writes memos that says it's not torture if it doesn't cause organ failure or death. Why should we be surprised? You know, leadership really does come from the top down.
Well, there is no accounting for what these men say, and I do believe that one day they will be called to account for what they have said, if in fact what they have said has created a climate of lack of humanity. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And there's very much a comparison between that and the orders that were given by Adolf Hitler on many occasions. Because, I mean, you know, let's face it, he had no qualms when it came to telling people to do things and things that were unacceptable and not affixing his hand to those orders. I mean, not to belabor the point too much, let's look at the Wannsee Conference of January 20th, 1942, when by an unwritten decree, Hitler ordered through his Powellands a meeting of 15 men in that
to sort out the Jewish question.
And the Lakeside Villa at Wannsee to sort out the Jewish question and to eliminate 11 million human beings by the process of assembly line industrial combustion at certain selected points.
Oh, you know, the history of war is replete, and you don't even have to go to the Nazis for it. You know, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson being asked about Union forces and how and what to do with them answered, kill them all. You know, there's no the Germans have no particular corner on the market with any of this stuff. You've got old Colonel what's his face out in Colorado who slaughtered Native American women and children when there wasn't a man in the camp because he told his troops nits make lice. You know,
I beg your pardon. He told them what?
Nits make lice.
Oh. Well, I mean, you know, there are even rumors that Custer has been, before they were finally taken care of, that Little Bighorn had invaded Indian villages, and they were making tobacco pouches out of women's breasts.
Oh, sure, sure. And I mean, so,
I mean, you know, let's face
there are horror stories of the Spanish conquest of Mexico. It is in the nature of war to be inhuman, monstrous. The horror stories out of Vietnam, the horror stories out of Korea, horror stories, out of the Second World War. It is a horrifying human condition.
Mick Jagger was well inspired when he wrote the song "Sympathy is the Devil," and I think the lyrics go, "I hung around St. Petersburg when I thought it was the time for change. I killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a general's rank, while the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies sank.
Yeah.
Pleased to meet you. Can you guess my name?"
Yeah. And, you know, if you believe in that sort of thing, the Prince of Darkness is present in every battle. Jim, thank you very kindly. I do appreciate all your thoughts.
Nonetheless, thank you, sir.
Yes,
thank
indeed. Take care.
Uh-huh. Have a good evening to you and your family.
You too. Bye now. Break, Agnes, or, yeah, okay. Quick break. Oh, wait, Agnes, before we hit the break, by the way, I wanted to mention to you, dear leader gave a speech today to the National Military Officers Association. And in it, he outlined, it's up there at whitehouse.gov now, the plan for dealing with terrorism, and we've got it here.
Today we're releasing a document called the National Strategy for Combating Terrorism. This is an unclassified version of the strategy we've been pursuing since September the 11th, 2001. The strategy was first released in February 2003. Our strategy for combating terrorism has five basic elements.
Amongst our weaponry are such diverse elements as fear, surprise, ruthless efficiency, and almost fanatical devotion to the Pope in nice red uniform.
This is the Head On Radio Network. Sorry, I couldn't resist a little bit of silliness. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm saying what I really think. The president's a fool. I don't want to get up early, and I wish I had a good stiff drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade. I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be less polite.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Planet Check. He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told me that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fat, some flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel, not only their feed. Small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or sowing or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more eco-wrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping.
Welcome back to Head On.
Keep rolling on fast as the
sand. Yeah, might as well. I mentioned the media. And I mentioned Katie Couric, and some of you probably already know where I'm going. I don't know if you'd... I don't know. Did you see the... This is really bad radio when I start talking about photographs on the radio. It really does. The two media just don't mix. But there was an image out there. Apparently, Katie Couric was looking a little pudgy, and somebody at CBS airbrushed her down a couple of dress sizes. Did you see that? This is image management. They got caught red-handed at it. Well, welcome to Image Management 2.1 Beta. To wit, our good friend... No, I kid. You know I joke. Well, I'm going to have to do the voice. If you were ever wondering whether you could... Remember the movie Jaws? You remember just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Dun-dun. Dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. Well, in case you were thinking that there was any reason, any possible reason to ever, ever, ever watch the CBS Evening News, let me, for you, put that to rest. This, I'm going to need a shower after the show. This is from Flush Flemball's website. My friends, early in August I was approached by Ms. Couric herself, and she told me of a segment that they were going to do in their new newscast called Free Speech, Freedom of Speech. Free speech, I think it is, and every night there will be a commentator that will get between a minute and 15 to a minute and 30, depending on how competent and how good they are. I got the full minute 30, and on Friday they're going to do comedians, and they're going to do this every night, and some nights it's going to be a Walmart shopper. Some nights it'll be a professional academic. Some nights it'll be a pundit. It'll be full of people that you know or you don't know. They hope they're going to, you know, run the gamut with this. And Katie asked me if I would consider appearing on the first week, and I said, yeah, but my experience with these kind of things, Katie, leads me to ask you for certain promises, conditions. And I got those promises and conditions. They were met. So last Thursday, we taped it in the EIB building in Manhattan after the radio show, and it wasn't until, I guess, Saturday that I found out it actually is going to run on Thursday. That's the plan now. I don't know who's doing it tonight. I don't know who's doing tomorrow night. I've heard that the Clinton's done one, that McCain's going to do one, Giuliani. I don't know about anyone else. I have no clue who else is doing this other than I don't know any more than you do. I only know that I did mine, and it will air sometime in the newscast on Thursday, and a lot of you, I think, are a little short-sighted on this, and I responded to some of the emails over the weekend questioning my loyalty to the movement, questioning my sanity, questioning my brains. I don't know how much more of this I can do. Here comes the martyr part. He's, you know, Flush Flemball's no different than, say, a member of some martyr brigade in the Middle East. Well, except he's a coward. And he has a polyandrial cyst. When the drive-by media offers 90 seconds of a 22-minute program, an opportunity for me to express our views, my views, without debate, without somebody coming on afterwards to refute it, and that's part of the feature, by the way. They've assured me and everybody they talk to that you do your piece on X night, and next night's not going to be somebody responding or replying, although I've heard that George Clooney has already asked for equal time to respond to me. Now, I'm told that that's not going to happen, and certainly it's not going to happen the next night. I didn't mention any names in my piece. I'm not going to tell you what it's about because I don't want to give any of it away, but just believe me on this, folks. It is our views, and they're pretty hard-hitting, and they're going to be on the CBS Evening News, and they haven't appeared. These kinds of views haven't appeared much on the CBS Evening News or the ABC World News Tonight or the NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. Brian Williams, who said he thinks it's his patriotic damn duty to watch Flush Flemball. So I did it as an opportunity to reach that audience, which is about, I bet she gets over 8 million people this week every night. Maybe a little more. The hype on this has been what it is. There's going to be a lot of curiosity and tune-in factor. She was very open and honest about all this when we were setting it up, and they came in on Thursday, as I say, and it was kind of funny. The crew from CBS was, what are you smirking at, Snerdly? What time is the CBS Evening News on? It's 6:30 Eastern Time. Where's my pill? I always crunch them up to get the refreshing burst of flavor, my friends. It breaks the time release coating. That's good. As I was saying, Some places, I think they're going to do a 6 o'clock feed because some stations do network news at 6. I'll take another. It's 6:30 Eastern and Pacific time on most stations. You know, you could grind one up and melt it in a spoon and filter it through cotton and just run it straight into my arms, Snerdly, if you don't mind. Here, let me stick it out there for you. But the crew came in. They were just nice and fun. They were just nice and fun as they could be, and they found me to be the same way, which surprised them, which I just always find it fascinating. Oh, love my OxyContin. No, so all kidding aside, Agnes, you're looking at me like I've got three heads. He's a junkie.
Yeah, I know.
He does junk on the air. He does junk off the air. He sends his maid out to Denny's parking lots with Cuban cigar boxes full of cash to come back with Cuban cigar boxes full of on-the-street OxyContin. Now, have you digested all of that? Dig it. Katie Couric as managing editor of the CBS Evening News was trying to come up with really cool things she could do to sort of mark her territory. Now that she is in the inestimable chair formerly occupied by Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. And she's thinking, well, you know, we can have on-air canapes. No, wait, I've got a better idea. I'll invite Rush Limbaugh onto the CBS Evening News because God knows that poor little man doesn't get to say, you know, conservatism has been ground under the liberal boot heel in America long enough. We need to get Rush Limbaugh on this program. Dig it! That was her first thought for what could separate her from Brian. I have to listen to Rush Limbaugh as my patriotic duty every day, Williams at NBC. And the ABC Evening News. She was going to achieve separation. She is going to achieve separation by bringing on a nasty, draft-dodging, bloviating, ignorant, lying, flush phlegmball. She's going to bring on a junkie. I wonder if Katie, sweet Katie, dear Katie, I wonder if Katie has ever heard these words. Yes, there's a cat in the studio. It's a good luck cat. I wonder if Katie has ever heard these words spoken with such trenchant authority by Flush Phlegmball. Why should blacks be heard? They're 12% of the population. Who the hell cares? Or, let's see, take that bone out of your nose and call me back. There's Flush again. And we have laws against selling drugs, pushing drugs, using drugs, importing drugs. And the laws are good because we know what happens to people in societies and neighborhoods which become consumed by them. And so if people are violating the law by doing drugs, they ought to be accused and they ought to be convicted and they ought to be set up. When you strip it all away, Jerry Garcia destroyed his life on drugs, and yet he's being honored like some godlike figure. Our priorities are out of whack, folks. I don't give a hoot that we gave some Indians a disease that they don't have immunity against. Talking about the deliberate poisoning of the Native American population with, diseases like smallpox. Have you ever noticed how all composite pictures of wanted criminals resemble Jesse Jackson? let's do one more. I mean, this is... This is what Katie Couric thought would be a big ratings win for her. And you know what's really sick? It will be. People will tune in left and right for that stupid little 90 seconds of that viral, virulent, disgusting, right-wing thug. That nasty little coward who, when called upon to serve his country, said, "My friends, I cannot go to Vietnam as I have a festering pimple on my rear end." Let's see. Let's go back to December 1993. Talking about Jocelyn Elders. You know, he hated Jocelyn Elders because Jocelyn Elders talked about, you know, sex in the real world and how we protect our children from getting killed by having sex. And he said, "I have a solution for Mrs. Elders. I mean, if she wants to legalize drugs, send the people who want to do drugs to London and Zurich, and let's be rid of them. Now, the problem with legalizing drugs is, it's just another abhorrent example of human behavior that we've suddenly decided, hey, we can't handle it. We've given up, and we're going to sanction the destruction of lives. We're going to let you destroy your life. We're going to make it easy. And then all of us who accept the responsibilities of life..." Pay attention to that. "And then all of us who accept the responsibilities of life and don't destroy our lives on drugs, we'll pay for whatever messes you get into." I'm appalled at people who simply want to look at all this abhorrent behavior and say, you know, we can't control it anymore. People are going to do drugs anyway. Let's legalize it. It's a dumb idea. It's a rotten idea. And those who are for it are purely 100% selfish. I'm trying to think if CBS airs anything that I give a tinker's damn about. I guess it could be said that I do still tune in from time to time to 60 Minutes. I can from time to time be caught watching Face the Nation. But I make you a solemn promise now. If as of Thursday evening, they have run the commentary of this filthy man who has done more in the last 20 years to poison the body politic. Yeah, body potty tick. Yeah, that really is good. Yeah, there's some truth in that. No, this filthy man who has done more to poison the body politic in this country than any other single human being. If this man winds up on the CBS Evening News Thursday night, I'm not gonna watch. I don't slow down to see if I can see any good gore at car wrecks either. And that's what this is if you watch it. But somebody will tell me. And if it turns out that Katie Couric, as managing editor of the CBS Evening News, as the latest person to inherit a job that was once held by the great Edward R. Murrow, if this woman puts Flush Flemball on the air, I promise you, and I don't know how much more solemn I can get than this, if Katie Couric is somehow vested with the supernatural power to bring John Lennon and George Harrison back to life and reunite them with Paul and Ringo and put the Beatles back together on live TV, on primetime, on CBS, I don't care, I won't watch. As of Thursday evening, CBS is dead to me. As of Thursday evening, if they air this segment with this filthy draft-dodging bastard, then CBS is no longer anything resembling a holder of the sacred trust of the Fourth Estate. As of Thursday evening, if they air Flush Flemball, CBS has forfeited every right to be considered a journalistic enterprise. Am I going to give you marching orders? Am I going to tell you to send them an email? No. Do what you want to do. You want to make them feel it? Don't watch. Tell your friends not to watch. It's that simple. Anybody want to tell me about the liberal media? Thank God I don't have any wingnuts. I think I'd blow a gasket if it went, oh, you know, Bob, it's the liberal meeting. They purged Dan Rather. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. U.S. Senator Russ Feingold supports the Employee Free Choice Act. It would let workers join unions by signing union cards and increase fines for employers that violate union rights. Feingold says a change of Congress is needed to advance this issue and many others.
Those issues won't get anywhere unless we change this Congress. We have one-party rule, it's hostile to labor, and it's hostile to real health care reform. So we need change in America, and we need it now.
The Detroit Federation of Teachers was still in talks Tuesday to end a week-old strike. The school district there is seeking major concessions in pay and health care, while the teachers' union wants an increase. And a federal bankruptcy judge on Tuesday okayed a Delta Airlines request to end its pilots' pension plan. The airline must still get permission from the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation to end the plan. Air traffic controllers are calling it a move akin to being fired on Christmas. This Labor Day weekend, the FAA imposed new work rules. It could potentially reduce passenger safety. Jesse Russell has more.
Brazen and arrogant are the words used by National Air Traffic Controllers Association President Pat Forey. He is referring to the decision by the Federal Aviation Administration to impose new work rules that cut pay for current and future controllers by up to 30% and deny sick leave to controllers who have not received enough rest. Under the new rules, controllers also lose the right to take a fatigue-fighting break after 2 hours. Forey calls the new rules the worst punch in the gut blow to the morale of this workforce imaginable. The NATCA says the way the rules have been imposed violates federal statutes and the collective bargaining agreement. Air traffic controllers were not given the opportunity to vote on the new work rules. Forey said the union will pursue all legislative and legal avenues for relief.
Deborah Berger, president of the California Nurses Association, says her union won a deal with Kaiser Permanente that protects 14,000 nurses from potentially having their rights stripped away under a pending NLRB decision.
What the agreement did for nurses was secure our bargaining unit by making sure that Kaiser agreed not to challenge any of our registered nurses under the pending NLRB agreement.
The union also won pension improvements and raises of 26.5% over the 5-year Kaiser Permanente contract. Nurses with 30 years or more get another 3%. Now, here's Jesse Russell with the WIN Economic Report.
While the productivity of working Americans continues to grow, pumping millions of dollars into corporate coffers, little is being offered to new workforce entrants. According to a report from the Economic Policy Institute, hourly real wages for both college and high school graduates fell between 2000 and 2005. And as new census data reports, more and more Americans are working full-time without health coverage. It comes as little surprise that many of those jobs being offered to graduates are not offering health care or company pensions.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to
to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
About 14 minutes before the hour, as we roll toward the end of this second hour on this Tuesday evening. Now, if you want to get involved with the program, and if you're new to the program, you might want to know the phone number. It's 877-443-2366. 877-443-2366. I got an update while I was checking my email during the break. Our good friend Roy writes in from Texas talking about Katie Couric. Apparently he watched her newscast this evening and said, maybe a 5 on a scale of 10. And this evening's freedom of speech segment was Tom Friedman. Check it out. Apparently, I'm reporting what Roy has told me. Tomorrow's freedom of speech segment or whatever, or special guest or exalted Sasquatch or whatever for Katie is Dear Leader himself. Eesh. Now, as I noted, Dear Leader spoke to the Military Officers Association of America today. You know, they're another one of those little captive audiences where everybody has to clap. Clap! I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. Harumph. But, we have experts who could address this kind of thing. But, you know, it's almost some sort of battered spouse or Stockholm syndrome or something that would... What in God's name would cause Katie Couric to invite that festering boil on America's body politic, Flush Flimball? What in God's name would make her? Yuck! But you see, he has been riding her, you know, because Flush, after all, is nothing but a bully. And he has no credibility, and I know I'm supposed to move on. But this is a little bit bigger than that, because this gives you the final verdict on the state of the media in the United States today. Because Rush, being a bully, being a guy who can punch but cannot take one coming back at him, Flush has bullied Katie Couric on the air and called her name like Cutie Pie Katie Couric, or, you know, Katie Perky Katie Couric, blah 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 blah, for years. And somehow, in some twisted logic, I'm sure that to Katie Couric, you know, I'll show him that I'm bigger than he is. I'll invite him on my show. And then he won't be able to call me nasty names anymore like he has for all these years. He's been mean to me, but I love him so. I'm sure that's because you'll notice that in his thing that Limbaugh says that he had to negotiate preconditions that no one would dare refute him. Because that's the way it is with the, you know, with the right-wing bloviators and the right-wing hate machine. If you refute them, if you talk back to them, you win, they lose. It's as simple as that. So that had to be written in as a precondition. No one gets to refute El Rushbo. Let's go to the phones. Wayne joins us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Good, good. Listen, I just got a news flash, man. You know who Katie's having on Friday?
No.
Don Imus.
Oh, my God.
Really?
No.
No, okay.
I
thank
made
you.
That up.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to go for a week of supposedly ex-drug addicts and alcoholics. You know, might as well have Don Imus on.
Yeah, sure.
What a jerk that guy is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
From his cowboy hat down to his cowboy boots.
Exactly. And, you know, how come all these Republican supporters are supposedly ex-drug addicts and alcoholics? And
what they are first and foremost is they are not ex-liars. They're, you know, they're full-time, ongoing practicing.
Oh, no, they continue to lie.
Yeah, they're practicing liars, so I think that may take the ex out of the drug addict and the child, you know, the kiddie diddler and all of that stuff, too.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I should seek professional help or something, but sometimes in the morning when I'm ironing a shirt or making a cup of coffee, I turn him on, you know, and he's very concerned because they have so much invested in Lieberman.
Yeah.
Let me think. Who else? Oh, Santorum. Another favorite of Don Imus.
Oh, I know.
And who's the guy from Tennessee? Brown? No.
No. Frist?
No.
Lamar Alexander?
Ford.
Oh, Harold Ford?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's, Harold Ford Jr. is running against the Republican weirdos for Frist's Senate seat.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, how good is Ford?
For his daddy, not so much. Harold Ford Jr. is said to be a pretty decent guy.
Well, we'll have to see, I guess, if he wins this.
Yeah.
But Santorum, I was very upset. I guess he's moved within 5% or something.
Oh, sure.
Of Casey, who's no surprise, but, you know. I would take anybody over Santa.
Well, I mean, did you see any of the footage of yesterday's debate?
Yeah, I saw some of it.
You know, and Santorum just went immediately for sleazy. Your father would be so ashamed of you.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, in true Democrat fashion, we're not so good at fighting back because the immediate answer to that is, look, you know, Rick, at least I don't play with dead fetuses.
Yeah, right, but he didn't say that.
Yeah, you sick, twisted, right.
Right, exactly. You know, but.
Yeah, the people who live in Pennsylvania that listen to this program, if they haven't heard already, Wayne, will be thrilled to death to know that there has been a settlement of a case in which, maybe it was Allegheny County, I'm not sure, was trying to get Rick Santorum to pay for the fraudulent online classes that he got for his kids who live in Virginia.
Right.
Well, an agreement, a settlement has been reached by the Pennsylvania State Board of Education, I believe it is, and the Santorum family, whereby now all the people of Pennsylvania will pay for Rick Santorum's kids to have Pennsylvania online educations while they live in Virginia.
Not just Allegheny County.
Not just Allegheny County.
I guess so. So that makes it more fair.
That way all of Pennsylvania gets robbed.
Everybody
and not just Allegheny
that.
County.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, there you can understand how that's how they think. That's how they think. So,
but you know, there's no end to it. Santorum, but we knew that Santorum was going to get close because they have to get it within the margin of error for the black boxes, Wayne.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And that's what's so important about getting a good turnout. I mean, you know, we have to win overwhelmingly so that, well, hopefully the people will be in the streets, because if they mess with the black boxes again, enough people start screaming that somebody will finally look at it.
But one hopes.
One hopes, exactly. It's a very scary times, you know, and, you know, like I say, I don't, Well, you know, we have a real good shot here, but I mean, these are, you know, we're dealing with the dirtiest players in the world, and we have to be very, very careful. You know, October's coming up, and they have surprises, and I'm sure.
Yeah, that would be October surprises.
That's what that would be.
And these guys are pinned in a corner, and I will repeat it, Wayne, because. It's got to be borne in mind. It should be the first thing we think of when we get up in the morning and we check the news and go looking for what sort of slimy thing they've done today. These things are in a corner, and there is no end to the evil crap that they will do to advance, not to advance, but just to save their stinking hides.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we got to, you know, keep working, but be very, very careful because, you know, they're going to pull something. And, you know, I mean, they've already started with, well, you know, I mean, their big thing is their security thing, which is what a big joke that is.
Oh, they're protecting us. Yeah.
Yeah, they're protecting us, you know. Well, what would Bush say? We're safer, but we're not safe, you know. Well, we're not safer either.
Well, you know what else he said, Wayne? Agnes, could you haul this up real quick? Because, now, this isn't from today's speech. But he was also talking about the people who are trying to, you know, who want to attack us. And I thought he said it ever so succinctly. And as soon as Agnes finds it, here it is. This is what he said, Wayne.
This war will be long, and this war will end in the defeat of the terrorists and totalitarians and a victory for the cause of freedom and liberty.
Darn straight, huh?
Oh, yeah, I got that one. Now, what was that?
Yeah, we got the totalitarianisms.
Did he have to go to the bathroom? Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. He had toilet on his mind. You know what I mean?
Oh, how could we call ourselves safe in the hands?
How did we get to this? How did we get to have an idiot?
You know, I mean, that's a 237-year-old question.
Oh, my God. It's,
you know, how do you start with George Washington and wind up with George W. Bush? It's like evolution running backwards.
Yeah, it is running backwards.
You know, you start off with Homo sapiens and you wind up with the banana slug. God help
us.
Well,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, they don't believe in evolution anyway, but, you know, what kind of design...
It ain't an intelligent one, I'm telling you that.
Yeah, you know, if that's intelligent design, I think I need another theory to go with. Because that one's not working so good.
Yeah, not the Big Bang either. I'm like the big backwards march, the big gnab, you know, instead of bang.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, tola tula talitarians.
Or whatever he said. He doesn't even know what he said.
You know, sometimes I play with George Bush's audio and I make him sound drunk. I didn't have to touch that.
No, no, you don't. Not that one. Just leave that go right the way it is.
Yeah, right there. That was, I mean, that was 90-proof Bush all the way through.
That's one of them self-explanatory things right there.
Yeah, we might have to play it again in a little bit. Wayne, thanks
so
much, man.
Yeah, we should. Well, listen, man, I just want to tell you now, I'm all set here. I actually vacuumed my car and cleaned it all and everything, you know.
Right.
I'm heading for D.C. I'm taking this big radio personality with me.
And by big, you're talking about size.
Huh?
And by big, you're talking about size.
Oh, even bigger than that. I mean, you know, size will fit, but, you know.
Well, with a crowbar and a wedge, I mean, maybe a block and tackle.
I mean, he's real particular about how clean the car is and everything, so it's all clean, and, you know, we'll see what it looks like on the way back.
God only knows.
God only knows.
It'll be like the Merry Pranksters bus on the way
back. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, I have to confess I'm a big contributor to that myself.
All right, man.
Anyway, pal, have a good evening.
All right, take care. See ya.
All right, man. Bye.
Later. Okay, time for a quick look at the news, then we come back for the final hour. If you're interested in getting involved, 877-443-2366 is the number. Jump right in. Or I got two or three good aneurysms left just in the stack and that I haven't even gotten to yet. Your choice. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today gave the second of a series of speeches leading up to the five-year anniversary of the September 11th attacks. He cited previously unreleased documents related to terrorism, including one used by Al-Qaeda, that says hostilities will not stop until everyone believes in Allah. Also, the White House released a 23-page document about the U.S. strategy on the war on terrorism. Mr. Bush said it's an unclassified version of the strategy he's been pursuing for the last 5 years. Some of the goals are to prevent rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction and strengthening alliances with other countries. In Mexico, the Electoral Court declared Felipe Calderón the president-elect. That comes 2 months after the country's hotly contested presidential election, but his challenger says he'll prevent Calderón from taking power on December 1st. In Egypt today, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he remains optimistic that Israel will end its blockade of Lebanon in the next 48 hours. Annan is also asking France, Italy, and Greece to provide naval ships to patrol the Lebanese coast for the next 2 weeks, when the German Navy is scheduled to arrive. Also today, Turkey's parliament agreed to send peacekeepers to Lebanon. In Vienna tomorrow, a senior Iranian negotiator and the European Union's foreign policy chief are tentatively scheduled to meet. They'll discuss Iran's nuclear program in a last-ditch effort to avoid UN sanctions against Tehran. In Iraq today, two U.S. Marines and a sailor were killed in combat in the Anbar province. Also today, Iraq's parliament voted to extend its state of emergency for another month. In the Middle East, Israel and the Palestinian government have agreed to a prisoner exchange program. A peace summit between Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert may follow. In Washington today, Congress returned to work after its summer recess. Members are expected to focus on a $453 billion defense spending bill and a $32 billion Homeland Security bill. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says the Senate will also work on bills related to the warrantless surveillance program and trying enemy combatants by military commissions. Also in Washington, Democratic senators are expected to present a no-confidence measure on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to the full Senate tomorrow.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The federal government says U.S. home prices rose just over 1% in the second quarter. That's a decline of more than a full percentage point, the lowest gain in 7 years. The former Federal Highway Administration chief has been appointed to succeed Norm Mineta as Transportation Secretary. Mary Peters served in the Arizona Highway Department for more than 15 years. Frederick Mishkin was sworn in today to the Federal Reserve Board. One position on the board is still vacant. A trade agreement between the U.S. and Vietnam could be established by mid-November when President Bush is scheduled to visit the country. If approved, the agreement would allow Hanoi entry into the World Trade Organization. Viacom CEO Tom Freston has reportedly been forced out after only 9 months. He'll be replaced by a member of the board of directors. Chipmaker Intel announced today that it will cut more than 10,000 jobs, or about 10% of its worldwide workforce. That's expected to save $3 billion a year by 2008. And French company Geophysique is acquiring U.S. oil and gas exploration company Veritas in a more than $3 billion cash and stock deal. Light sweet crude settled today at $68.69. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 5 points at 11,469, NASDAQ up 13 at 2205, S&P 500 up 2. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
And so it is we begin. Some programming note. I'm feeling a little bit lost. I won't be here tomorrow evening. No, instead, my good friends Bruce Birch and John Fox will be carrying the torch for tomorrow night's prayer meeting edition. And I'm sure they will. Yeah, they do yeoman work whenever they do. But all of this happens because, you know, as Wayne was joking around, we're headed for D.C. And tomorrow, it's like, you know, like a baseball team. Tomorrow's a travel day. So we're hoping to get to D.C. with plenty of daylight left in the air, and then we aim to go out and reconnoiter the broadcast site. It's my understanding Bruce intends upon broadcasting live from Camp Democracy Thursday evening, and there's every possibility that I will be able to join him there. But then for certain, it's five solid hours of high-quality, real, liberal conversation radio on Friday as we start at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, which, of course, would be 2 p.m. Pacific Time, and go to 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, live from Camp Democracy, live as we do what we can to stop this dirty, stinking, filthy war. And, of course, Friday is Labor Speaks Out Day at Camp Democracy. And that should be very exciting, seeing it, because everything, every great movement in this country begins with organized labor. And frankly, those are social movements. Those are labor movements. Those are political movements. Everything that has come of any good to this country has begun with organized labor. So that's, you know, that's how it's going to be. So I hope you'll be there to help out with John and Bruce tomorrow evening as prayer meeting edition rolls around. I have been asked to put out a bit of a public service announcement, and I'm glad to do it. Up in Wisconsin, the Madison Area Pagan Pride Day is coming up Sunday, October the 1st, 2006, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Lakeview Park in Middleton, Wisconsin. That's Mendota Avenue at Allen Boulevard. They write, join us for a celebration of pagan culture, society, and outreach to the area community. Everyone's welcome. Come explore the Madison area pagan community. Activities include an opening ritual at 11:30 a.m., 16 workshops, a healing camp, children's workshop and ritual, water sharing ritual, women's sacred singing circle. There will be entertainment featuring Celia Abu, American tribal belly dance, poetry by Mari Powers, goddess monologues by Cat Sojourner, and a whole lot more. There will be vendors, Mimosa, The Healing Bead, RCG1, Ariadne's Web, Fox Valley Pagan Unity Council, Wearable Archaeologies, Rose Gallery, Angelic Auras, Flora and Fauna Photography. Concessions are provided by Sea Cow. The closing ritual is at 7:30 p.m. If you bring a food or cash donation, they will go to Joining Forces for Families. The whole thing is sponsored by the Fox Valley Pagan Unity Council, Madison Pagan Unity Council, Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, yay Unitarians, Madison Area Pagans, Circle Sanctuary, and the Temple of Diana.
Blessed be.
Yes, indeed. Blessed be each and every one. Sounds like a fine time. It sounds like a dandy time. Agnes wants to go. Let's see. I want to go now. You may have heard in the top of the hour news that Senator Bill Frist, you remember Senator Frist, he has a thing for killing cats. Son of a friend, and his son, his son's a bit of a weirdo too. One of those online communities, not MySpace, but I think another one. He had an online community that said no Jews allowed. The junior, little junior Frist. You know, I guess he only gets a twin size sheet to wear to the lodge meetings.
And we have an Underground Railroad.
God, can you believe that? Bill Frist's son is a Klan wannabe. But anyway, Bill Frist came out today to talk about what the Senate's agenda would be for the coming session as they prepare to get their rear ends handed to them in the November elections if they can't figure out some way to steal them. And he came slithering out to the microphones, and I just thought you'd like to hear a little bit of what he had to say.
A couple of thoughts. It's clear that the Democrats want to make Iraq.
That's sleazy Mitch McConnell. We're going to have to back up a little bit there, Agnes. Yeah, pop it in there.
Good afternoon. As I laid out earlier this morning, much of this month, in terms of the focus on the floor of the United States Senate, will indeed be around the issue that we heard most about as we traveled our states and as we traveled the country, listening very carefully to the American people.
Very carefully.
There's a call for security. Security
in the security,
homeland,
come and
security,
take these thugs to prison,
jobs,
please.
Security surrounding our health. But in large part, that security centers around how well we will fight this war on terror and what will be the tools that our soldiers are allowed to have, that our law enforcement is allowed to have, that our intelligence agency is allowed to have
as we
execute this war against terror. A war that is going to take a long time, and it's not going to be easy to win this war, but ultimately we will win, and surrender is not going to be a solution.
And we'll get a trophy.
It's simply not an answer.
And somebody will surrender.
As I look back at the challenges that we have had on the floor of the Senate, I think that they will be increasing over the course of the next month. As we all saw, as we watched the news, as we listened to many of you, politics after the usual course of Labor Day is what is on most people's radar. At the same time, it is very important that we in this body, in a bipartisan way, rise above the partisanship and above the partisan victory to carry out our foremost responsibility.
It's important that we rise above partisanship. That means you go along Democrats. You get along Democrats. It's time for you to heal up and get in line. Because you heard we're going to work on national security. Really. Like I said, that's code. Because what they have in mind, they want to address the illegal spying program. Oh, yes, they do. And they want to address the kangaroo court tribunals. Because the Supreme Court said, nope, sorry, you can't have them, George. So the response to that is, if the Supreme Court says the law won't allow them, well, you change the law to allow them. You don't have a philosophical debate, for God's sakes, over whether or not it's right to indefinitely imprison someone without charge, without recourse to habeas corpus, the oldest single legal principle in the Anglo-American judicial system that runs all the way back to daggum Runnymede and the Magna Carta. No, you don't have a debate about whether or not George Bush is a wrong little monstrous thug for wanting to torture people and imprison them indefinitely without recourse to the courts. Oh, no, hell no, you don't have that debate. What you do is you get your compliant Senate, headed by a guy who tortured cats for the hell of it. I'll be damned, I think that's a gallbladder. No, you get... And we need to rise above our partisan roots and in a bipartisan fashion, we need to pass a law that says George Bush is Caesar and can wear little red boots if he wants to. That George Bush is Caesar, and George Bush can torture anybody he damn well wants to. That's what we got to do. We got to operate in the sense of bipartisan support to bring security to the United States of America. Security? Let's talk about security for a second there, Bill, buddy. let's do. Let's talk about security for several thousand Americans for whom you rewrote the bankruptcy bill to make sure that after they've had crippling health care crises and they've got crippling health care bills, you rewrote the bankruptcy code to make sure that they couldn't bankrupt those health care bills. You want to talk about security bill? Let's talk about helping those people keep the daggum houses. You want to talk about security bill? Let's talk about the minimum wage bill. Let's talk about how secure the average minimum wage earning American feels looking at his paycheck or her paycheck. And knowing that they are living in a place that is now officially officially designated by the federal government as not just poverty, but sunshine, deep poverty. You know, the kind of poverty where you can't, where it's damn dark down at the bottom, you don't know that there's a top of the hole, because you can't even see the top. You can't see the daylight coming in. You want to talk about security, Bill Frist? Baby, I can talk security with you all day long. And you know what? The name Osama bin Laden. The one thing that you and I have in common is that the name Osama bin Laden is never going to come into the conversation. I'm not going to bring Osama bin Laden into the conversation because I know for a fact that that Osama bin Laden, after 9/11, told George Bush to get American troops off of sacred Saudi sand. And George Bush, coward that he is, says yowza, and takes them out of Saudi Arabia, moves them to Qatar. And Osama hasn't done a blessed thing to us since. Now, on the other hand, you're not going to mention Osama, Senator Frist, because why? Because you couldn't find Osama if you tried, just like you couldn't find your rear end with both hands, you good-for-nothing, godless, soulless, motherless repiglican you. So that's why you won't mention Osama. You'll want to talk about Iraq and stopping, fighting them in Iraq so we won't have to fight them here. Now, I want to talk about real security, Senator Frist. I want to talk about real security in a state legislative district in Birmingham, Alabama, where 70% of the children live below the poverty level. How secure are they, Bill? Can you diagnose their poverty by videotape like you diagnosed Terry Schiavo, Bill? Can you? I want to talk about real security, Bill Frist. I want to talk about security for working families in America whose status in the middle class is on shifting sands. I want to talk about an America whose real wages have gone down in real time since you and your thug buddies in the Republican Party have had control of Congress. I don't want to see you wasting the Congress's time debating how many torture victims can dance on the end of Alberto Gonzalez's daggum hatpin, Bill Frist. I don't want to hear that. You want to talk about security, Bill Frist? I want you to talk about why you're holding up the Employees' Free Choice Act. I want to hear you talk, Bill Frist, about why it is you think it's a bad thing for any American under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America to be able to sign a union card and be a member of a union without having some uphill fight and being threatened by the company. I want to hear that security debate, Bill Frist. Because, you know, American families get security that way, don't they? Darn straight they do. Darn straight they do. American families where mommy and daddy don't have to be at each other's throats trying to figure out which bill doesn't get paid this month, and they're afraid to answer the phone because it's a bill collector, and they just can't take it anymore, and the children hear them fight at night when the children are supposed to be asleep, but you can't sleep because it all carries through the walls. And are mommy and daddy going to stay together? Do mommy and daddy love me? Why's daddy leaving? Doesn't daddy love us anymore? That's the security I want to talk about, Bill Frist. But let's see what you want to talk about, Bill. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to monopolize the conversation.
Good afternoon. As I laid out, lies above the partisanship and above the partisan bickering to carry out our foremost responsibility, and that is securing our homeland, the security and the safety of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
As I look back to the past, I hope we don't continue to see what we have seen coming from the Democrats, coming from the other side of the aisle, as we try to secure our homeland. Democrats have urged retreat from Iraq, and as always, we all know that has become the central front in this war on terror and the war on Islamic fascism.
Oh, Islamic,
and that's what this whole
stop
theme
it,
of cut and run
thing.
Has
we
come up
talk,
again
oh, no,
and again
no, no, civics,
as a Democrat.
Time. Islamic fascism. Got to talk about that for a second, Senator Frist. Dern liar. See, there is no such thing as Islamic fascism. Fascism requires a state. In fact, it requires a significantly industrialized state. It requires a Mussolini's Italy. It requires a Hitler's Germany. Because fascism is the marriage of the corporate state and the powers, the marriage of the corporate entities in a state and the legal powers and social powers of state government. Please let's understand once and for all. We know these are a bunch of lying thugs. But let's stop this Islamic fascism crap where it stands. I heard from a new listener over the weekend listening to the rerun on the stream who said, yeah, that you know, I know that these people are listening to the right wing because the right wing, the real hardcore, weird right wing hate radio types like Michael the Savage Wiener were the ones who coined Islamofascism. And it's true. But there is no such thing as Islamic fascism. There absolutely is not. In point of fact, well, no, okay, that's enough of that. But at least know that when you hear that, that's another of the lies that they're telling you. Now, Agnes, let's...
has stood up supporting competing amendments on how quickly we withdraw. Democrats blocked reauthorization of the Patriot Act for months. We all heard the Democratic leader say, we killed the Patriot Act. Democrats are blocking nominees to critical national security endeavors. And that's in the intelligence, that's in the defense committee, or defense regions, and these nominations will come forward. Most specifically, we have, of course, United Nations Ambassador John Bolton. Democrats have blocked expediting our national missile defense system, attempting to cut funding by $50 billion this year. While we've seen these...
Democrats have blocked our ongoing national missile defense system. Huh. Funny. Who's the fiscal conservative now, seeing as how, oh, I don't have the exact figure, but how many billions of taxpayer dollars have been spent on a system that doesn't work when it rains and doesn't and isn't able to shoot down the missile unless you've got a homing beacon on the target missile that's like... play an Al Franken or something for the little right-wing missile to home in on? How many times? But Democrats have blocked that. Democrats are trying to figure out. Democrat, you see, problem with the Democrats is they keep introducing legislation urging us to surrender to Saddam Hussein. That's what they are, bunch of cheese eating surrender monkeys. Now wait a minute, that's what we call the French. Going to have to come up with something new. They're appeasers. Yeah, I heard Donald Rumsfeld say that the other day. They're appeasers. That's what they are. They appease. They're appeasing Saddam Hussein. We got him. They're appeasing the Islamic fascists. Just like Neville Chamberlain. Just like him. Wanting to withdraw from Iraq. Wanting to just surrender and run away. What the hell do you want to do, Bill? I noticed your boy in the photograph wearing the Confederate uniform with a belt of beer cans. I think it might have been hams. Belt of beer cans. He's a student at Vanderbilt University. My God, money will get you in anywhere. Had a belt, wearing a flannel shirt and Confederate army pants, and a belt, you know, kind of like the dynamite belt, only it was beer. Because these people are so morally stunted that they can't tell the difference. It's a suicide belt of bad beer. Yeah. Yeah. They want to surrender. They want us to surrender in Iraq. Tell you what, Bill, I got an idea, buddy. You and all your little right-wing thugs, get your kids signed up and get everybody, every American out of Iraq who doesn't want to be there, and we will let you fight in Iraq till hell will not hold you. As long as it's your kid fighting and not mine. And not some mama who's going to get a visit from some guy in his dress blues in full solemnity. Okay, Bill? Bill, are you up for that? I mean, your kid's apparently got a thing for uniforms because he's out there in photographs strutting around in the butternut. I think he'd like Iraq real good. What do you say, Bill? You up for that? So, you know, I think we'll take a break. Oh, we're not done. Not done by a long stretch. Not with this story and not with a couple of others. Oh, dear. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. It feels so good to be back. Memorize every word, memorize every line. I spit it once, refuel, re-energize and rewind. I can sight to the blind, my insight through the mind. I exercise my right to express when I feel it's time. This is all in your mind, what you interpret it as. I say the fight, you take it as I'ma whip someone's ass. If you don't understand, don't even bother to ask. A father who has grown up with a fatherless past, who has grown up now to rap phenomenon that has, or at least shows no difficulty multitasking and juggling hope. Perhaps mastered his craft slash entrepreneur who has helped launch a few more rap acts, who's had a few obstacles thrown his way through the last half of his career. Typical manure moving past that. Mr. Kiss's ass crack. He's a class act from a band man. Yeah, he just.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion makes sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Agnes, I am not going to even ask what motivated you to play that song.
Good for you.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you what I am going to do. We're going to go back to Brother Bill Frist and see what else is wrong with the Democrat Party. You notice he can't say the Democratic Party? That's a slur, by the way. You do know that's a slur. You know, when you deliberately won't use the proper name of someone's organization, you're slurring them. You know, just like me, when I say Republicans, I mean to slur them because they have slurred my nation. Back to Senator Cantkiller.
Recent threats from North Korea and from Iran. Democrats have voiced opposition to the NSA terrorist surveillance program that we know are essential to stop.
Wait, you darn liar. What we have voiced opposition to and objection to, you freak. is the fact that you want to empower the President of the United States to abrogate everything in the Constitution of the United States and spy on citizens at will. Now, daggummit, the go-alongs and the get-alongs in the United States Senate, the Harry Reids and the Bill Nelsons and the Ben Nelsons. You know, the cowards may let you get away with that kind of crap, but you will not get away with it on this program. I object to the violation, the intentional violation of the Constitution of the United States of America by its chief executive. And in point of fact, there are mechanisms contained within that Constitution for dealing with a reckless chief executive who engages in said conduct. It is called impeachment. Oh, no, Bob, we can't talk about impeachment. If the moderates here is talking about impeachment, they might not vote for Democrats. We have to show how pathetic we are. We can't say anything strong. So we're straight on that. Good, Senator Bill.
Future attacks around the world, but as we have seen most recently right here at home.
Huh?
The bottom line is that there have been no terrorist attacks.
Did I miss something? Have we had attacks right here at home? Somebody blow up a Walmart somewhere? Or is he talking about those dudes in Miami who said, sure would like to blow up the Sears Tower if we could get some boots? Life is like a box of chocolates. Oh, Lord. They live on fear. They are. They watched. I thought I watched too much Star Trek. They watched way the heck too much Star Trek. Yes, Dr. Frist.
Attacks in the United States since 9/11. And that is the ultimate measure of success to date. Thus, we work very hard over the next month to focus on a range of issues, from port security to looking at our surveillance programs to looking at the Hamdan decision that came down last July, to make sure that we are addressing the concerns of the American people, the safety and security of our homeland.
Liar.
Yeah, thanks, Leader. Let me.
Now, this is Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. He's married to Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Labor. They get home every evening, and they look across the dinner table at each other, and they say, how was your day, dear? And she says things like, well, you know, today, honey, I gutted the Mine Safety and Health Administration so lots more miners can die in dank, stinking, gassed-up holes. And tomorrow, we're going to attack some nurses and say that because they told if an RN tells an LPN who tells a certified nursing assistant to go and change a bedpan, that RN is now a supervisor and doesn't get to be in a union anymore. And he says, well, that's just lovely. I attended a Klan meeting. Yes, Senator McConnell.
Had a couple of thoughts. It's clear that the Democrats want to make Iraq the central issue of the fall campaign. It is important to remember that the terrorists were at war with us for quite some time. They tried to blow up the World Trade Center in 93. They blew up our embassies.
Wait. They tried to blow up the World Trade Centers in 1993, and we caught them, and we tried them, and we put them in prison, and now they're having lunch with the Unabomber forever. Okay? Now, Osama? Oh, wait, I got some Osama news. Because Mitch McConnell won't tell you any Osama news. But I got you some Osama news. Well, it's kind of like Osama not news. This is a report from ABC by Gretchen Peters and Habibullah Khan. Wait for it, because you're not going to get the... No, dear leader didn't mention this in his little speechifying today either. The Pakistani military, just wait for it. The Pakistani military will no longer operate in the area where Osama bin Laden and other top al-Qaeda operatives are believed to be hiding, according to terms of what the Pakistan government calls a... Jesus. Peace deal. Peace deal. Signed today with militant tribal groups allied to the Taliban and al-Qaeda. Will somebody please get me Donald Rumsfeld on the phone? I got you some appeasers, Rummy, and they're your allies. It is a stunning setback for U.S. efforts to root out al-Qaeda and Taliban strongholds. Somebody get the understatement award out to Gretchen Peters and Habibullah Khan real quick. The agreement, signed in the North Waziristan district of Pakistan's volatile tribal belt, calls for the military to return to its barracks. Go home. Go home now. Bye-bye. Your mother's calling. Return to its barracks and for the insurgents to stop launching attacks on Pakistani troops. Stop! Stop it! Stop it! I will pull this vehicle over. Don't you think I won't? You soldiers, quit fighting with your Taliban brothers. That's it. No falafel for you tonight. God, what? Shame on me. I'm stereotyping. I apologize. I really do apologize. That was bad. But, well, not as bad as John Mark Carr singing, you know, Thank Heaven for Little Girls, but bad. Pakistan, our ally, Pakistan, that has nukes, Pakistan, that is run by a brutal dictator who kills his own people, whose name is General Pervez Musharraf, but when he was running for president, the only part of his name that George Bush could... General something, when he was asked by a reporter for the Boston Globe or somewhere, who the leader of Pakistan... Yeah, it's General. Yeah, General Pervez Musharraf has surrendered to al-Qaeda. You with me? You proud? How about that? Some war, that war on terror. Damn, we just got done listening to Bill Frist and Mitch McConnell tell us that it was the Democrats trying to surrender, and all the while it turns out to be the Pakistanis. What happened to the Pakistanis? Anybody ever seen Doc Hollywood? Wonderful little, you know, bit of fluff movie with Michael... Oh, for God's sakes, Michael J. Fox, thank you. There's this repeating line. What about the Pakistani? What about the Pakistanis? What happened to the Pakistanis? They were our brave and fearless ally in the war on terror. And now they're going home? Counter march! About face! Retreat! Pakistani military will no longer operate in the area where Osama bin Laden and other top al-Qaeda operatives are believed to be hiding in Pakistan, according to the surrender agreement. The army will pull back to its camps, spokesman Major General Shawkat Sultan told ABC News. They will not undertake any terrorist activity. There will be no parallel government, and foreigners will leave the area. Well, all the foreigners except the foreigners that want to stay. You know, 6'4" Arabs with portable dialysis machines, blind Egyptian sheiks, and, you know, those guys. Well, you know, I mean, they're like naturalized now. They've ridden the goat or, you know, done what, and, you know, they live there. It's home. Extremist tribal leaders in North and South Waziristan had virtually taken over in recent months, They imposed Taliban-style law in their districts, held public executions, and were openly recruiting fighters for jihad against U.S. troops across the border in Afghanistan. Well, Senator McConnell, Senator Frist, you know, it might be me, but I think if I was looking for somebody that I thought was trying to surrender and hurt the little war on terror that you're so darn fond of, I think I'd look to Pakistan instead of the Democratic Party. Because they just surrendered to Osama bin Laden. Period. I mean, really, that's all. That's what they did. Although the military will not release exact figures, they also killed and injured hundreds of Pakistani soldiers in roadside bombs and suicide attacks. The ongoing military operations in the tribal belt were so unpopular in Pakistan, many accused President Pervez Musharraf of fighting America's war on terror with Pakistani blood. Analysts say the general had to stop the bloodshed, even if just for the meantime. Retreat! Beep, 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 beep. An earlier deal in 2003 dissolved after tribal militants failed to hold up their end of the bargain. Few expect this deal to hold either. This is just a temporary solution, says ABC News consultant Raimullah Yousufzai. They want to push things under the carpet for the time being. Now, see, I didn't bring up the carpet. My God. My God. This is where we are. I mean, if you insist that we have to be fighting a war somewhere, which I don't, it would seem that Afghanistan is the logical place to do it. Because if you buy the administration's explanation that a bunch of semi-literate guys with credit cards and box cutters who spent 6 months learning to fly planes but not land them and nobody noticed, and the rest of the time they spent at Hooters looking at decadent American girls and drinking beer against the laws of the Quran. If you believe that, the nerve center of it was a bunch of the caves in the Pakistan-Afghanistan tribal belt border area. And one would theoretically, just as we did with the Barbary pirates early in the history of this nation, one would go over there and one would clean out that nest of hornets. That den of vipers. That's what one would do. One would do that if one were not a cowardly little Republican president who was hell-bent on world dominion and controlling the oil supply of the Iraqi people. And doing the bidding of, and you want to talk about weird, doing the bidding of Israel and Saudi Arabia at the same time. That's what. Witnesses in North Waziristan said tribal leaders hugged each other and fired guns to celebrate the deal. You know, that's what I do when I'm happy. I go shoot somebody. The deal is widely being viewed as a victory for their camp and a humiliating retreat for the Pakistani military, which it is. The Pakistani military is even going to stop monitoring the activity. We're leaving, we're turning our backs, we're not coming back, we're not going to fight you anymore, we surrender. So let's see, if the French are cheese-eating surrender monkeys, what does that make the Pakistanis? I'm not going to go there. But yeah, that's George Bush's great ally, that's our great ally, the Pakistanis, who have just surrendered to Osama bin Laden. And his deputies. What did he say in March of, March 2003 when George said, I really don't think about him much. I don't spend that many hours a day on him. I don't think about Osama. One Islamabad diplomat asked, is this the birth of Talibanistan? Could be. Not that George Bush has any power to stop it. George Bush is powerless. He has started a war. He has told us publicly that he has no intention of ending that war within the time of his presidency. Today they told us that, you know, despite the call for a no-confidence vote on Rummy, what were the words of the White House? I mean, we're talking about the White House. I mean, millions of dollars. Remember, they were told that these were the grown-ups. You know, these were the geniuses. These were the smart people. These were the guys who were really going to know what the hell was going on. What do we get told today? We get told that Donald Rumsfeld is not the boogeyman. Their words, not mine. Not Jeebus. Not the boogeyman. And one last thing before the evening ends, because I don't get to do prayer meeting tomorrow night, so I got to do this now. Because it really does kind of dovetail together. Hummus eating wimps. Thank you. Thank you, Spike in the chat room. Hummus eating wimps. Not cheese eating surrender monkeys. The Pakistanis are now hummus eating wimps. I love hummus. I make great hummus. Now, I gotta do this before because it's the same. It's the same mindset. Okay, we can blow up entire countries, Iraq. We can stand by while Israel just slaughters Lebanon. We can, you know, with Afghanistan, you know, and watch Afghanistan fall back into chaos. You know, I give Hamid Karzai another 9 months to live. That's about tops before he has to get on the helicopter and leave. And all of this is motivated by a guy on this side who says, God talks to me. God told me to attack Saddam, and I did. Really, you know. And a whole bunch of other weirdos like, you know, James Dobson, who says that the way you keep a little boy from catching a bad case of homo is you, grown man, father, take him into the shower naked as a jaybird with you, and you sit there and you compare genitals. Would I kid you? I would not. And they believe all kinds of bizarre things. They, you know, that, you know, Jesus is going to come down in his holy rolls and let him kill Jews for a while and have a real good time. And on the other side, you've got if that's the taste, great. The less filling on the other side says, no, you are all infidels because our invisible guy says it's like this. But while we're at it, we like to kill Jews too. Okay? So you've got this clash of fantasy worlds, clash of ideologies, clash of idiots. Tastes great, less filling. My invisible guy. No, my invisible guy. My invisible guy is stronger than yours. No, mine is. And into the middle of it all, with Iraq in flames, Lebanese babies being bombed into their constituent mishmashy little pudding-like parts by Israeli bombs that were built by American arms manufacturers and shipped there on the double quick, into the middle of this steps His Holiness, the Pope, with a real solution for world problems. Pope, I read this verbatim, and can't believe my eyes. Pope Benedict XVI's chief exorcist. You know, any story that starts, so-and-so's chief exorcist. Pope Benedict XVI's chief werewolf investigator.
Luke, I am your father.
Oh. Pope Benedict XVI's chief vampire searcher. Renfield. Father Renfield. No. Pope Benedict XVI's chief exorcist, Reverend Gabrielle Amorth, has called fictional wizard in training Harry Potter the King of Darkness, the Devil.
Aww.
Amorth made the statement about the star of the best-selling children's series by British author J.K. Rowling during an interview with Vatican Radio during the week. Now, see, if I go a little further into this and there's something in here about Father Guido Sarducci, I'll know it's a joke. But it's no joke. Magic is always a turn to the devil, said the Roman Catholic priest, according to Britain's Daily Mail newspaper. Amorth, who is also the president of the International Association of Exorcists. Oh, Jesus, they got a union. Said the series contains many positive references to the satanic art of magic and makes no distinction between black and white magic. Well, you know, that's the thing. It's that distinction between black and white magic that... You know, the pagans are going to have a nice little meeting somewhere near Madison, Wisconsin, and I want them to have a blast. Because it looks like they're working toward, you know, peaceful cooperation, not, you know, not being cruel to the earth, being respectful of all life. Yeah, I'm into that. But no, no, Pope Benedict XVI's chief exorcist, who's head of the exorcist union. A price has to be paid. We are dealing with the pure evil here. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's J.K. Rowling. A price has to be paid. We're dealing with pure evil here, Rowling said during a British chat show interview. Amorth compared the Potter character to dictators Stalin and Hitler. Boy, I tell you, it's all a rage now, isn't it? I mean, you got Rummy out there saying that I'm Neville Chamberlain. Democrats are Neville Chamberlain. We've all got an umbrella. We're waving a piece of paper. We've achieved peace in our time. And the head of the Exorcist Union is after a fictional character in a book. Really. You can tell by their behavior and their actions from the horrors they committed and the atrocities that were committed under their orders. That's why we need to defend a society from demons. Oh, please, Jesus, where is the reference? Where is the reference to Father Guido Sarducci? When you get a line like, that's why we need to defend a society from demons. You know that you're pretty much, you know, you're not in reality anymore. We've got to protect society from demons. Well, okay, you know, if we can define George Bush as a demon, yes. If that's what it takes, fine. But Then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger of Germany, who wrote a supportive letter in 2005 to the author of a book, Harry Potter, Good or Evil. In it, sociologist Gabriel Kuby had argued that Harry Potter series distorts young people's ideas about the battle of good versus evil. It is good that you, and this is the guy who's Pope now, with the red shoes and the House of Whoville hat and the little lace dress. It is good that you enlighten people about Harry Potter. Wait a minute, wrong accent. It is good that you enlighten people about Harry Potter, because those are subtle seductions which act unnoticed and by this deeply distort Christianity in the soul before it can grow properly, the soon-to-be Pope said. Now, I got... wait. Yes, dear?
Well, Bob, you have to understand.
What?
It's not a good thing. Harry Potter not evil. That's more like Schmeagol.
Quit it.
Precious.
Okay, so this guy and his wife are golfing, and she snap hooks a ball into a beautiful mansion along the fairway, and they walk in, and she picks up a vase, and she's looking at it, and all of a sudden, this guy in a pair of satin pajamas comes down the stairs and says, I am the genie from the lamp. I will grant you each one wish and keep a wish for myself. I'm a modern genie. And she says, really? He says, yeah, no kidding. She says, I want beautiful houses on every continent. How about you, mister? And the guy says, well, okay, we're going to have all those houses. I need to have unlimited wealth so that we can enjoy those houses. Very good. My wish, I wish, sir, to sleep with your wife. Well, okay. So, you know, the genie and the wife go back upstairs and they, you know, and he gets his wish. And after a while, he looks over at the wife and goes, how old is your husband? And she says, 32 years old. And he says, and he still believes in genies. Welcome to His Holiness's list of priorities. No, it's not 100,000 dead in Iraq. It's Harry Potter. Demons. Exorcists. I can't stand it anymore. We're quitting. Agnes produced, John engineered. Shelby Lepre at radiopower.org is our partner in streaming this program. If you want to hear it, it runs in delay the following day from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. The program happens because of the dedication and hard work of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream, and by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
We're at 800 Talk Yes, program produced by Catherine Bay, as usual. Robin Dittman is our announcer. We have some technical difficulties here this evening, as usual, with the program. So I hope you can hear us. I hope that it's going out over the air. As you call in this evening, we'll try to work your calls in, and as we normally do. But once again, as is typical with this program, we have technical difficulties. Okay? Sorry about that. So, Saddam Hussein is captured Saturday. Can't they show us some new video yet? Do we have to continue to look at the mouth and lice check over and over? It's worse than the dying.